God bless you.
God bless you, my son.
Need I speak of the joy I feel there, once again there to be among you, and to feel the love of your vibrations enclosed around my own aura, and so creating a bond of love through which we can commune and be at peace within our hearts of one another. How very apt it is that you speak of those things concerning prayer. As a brother Christopher has read from your book, it teaches a beautiful lesson once again. A lesson which is so meaningful, not just to you here, sitting here, but to mankind. Have we not always taught, be as a child, be simple in your belief, in your approach, and in your prayers. Be simple when you come before God. Be humble and be truthful to yourselves. And is this not what was being said? Is it not what the Saint Master was saying? Don't make your prayers of many confusing words. Don't shout them in front of the crowds so that they can hear you and they see you for what you are. But enter into your heart. This is your closet. This is the closet which he spoke of. This is the closet that Christ was saying to man. Enter into yourself. And the Father who is within you will reward you openly in the eyes of the world. You are many of you working with the instrument, praying perhaps one day you will be teaching as he teaches, or serving at the altar of your church, preaching the word of God in whatever way, demonstrating the love of his power within, in whatever way. I say to you, do not try and push yourself to the fore. Do not try to make yourself a name to be remembered among all. For they are only remembered for a certain amount of time, and then they are lost in the mists of time and forgotten. And man also passes on, and with him is the memory. But if you speak from your heart, if you work from your heart, if you pray from your heart, if you teach from your heart, if you heal from your heart, if you prophesy from your heart, then the Father who knows of your love and of your service, he will reward you openly. Not just on this earth plane, this is only a temporary thing. He will reward you in his realms, in these realms wherein Marcello and all his brothers and fellow teachers and servants work. This is where the true reward of the Father is. This is where his light shines most within. In. And here it is, where you can irradiate this love of which you taught and spoke. Am I not radiating this same love to you now? Am I not teaching you now? Do I not close my eyes and pray with you to the Father also? Is it because my belief as a child was a simple belief? My truth was a simple truth. My way of life was a simple way of life. I had no possessions, I had no need of them. I had no wealth, I had no need of this either. I had only love to give. I had only this need to serve a master, to learn from him, to grow through him, and so to evolve in my Father's kingdom. And is this not what the Master Jesus was saying to you here? Be not as the hypocrites on the streets, who for their much talking will believe they are seen of men. Truly they are seen of men. And when the men have walked away, and he turned their back, having listened, they are forgotten. And so are their words. But when one sees love coming from the heart, as a gift, as a blessing from one to another, as a word of comfort, as a word of a truth, of a promise, of compassion, they do not forget. They will remember. And so it is, as he said, the Father who will reward you in the secret and hear you in the secret will bless you openly for what you have done. He will bless your spirit. He will bless your life. Not just the day, but all of your life. If you will only go about quietly among the Father's children and let your truth be known among men silently and gently, with a blessing, with a word of love, with a word of compassion, with a healing hand, this is the greatest possession you can have. This is the greatest wealth you can behold. And consider it, for no one can take it away. And yet you don't have it to guard it. And it is a priceless gift. No man can put a value on it. Many have tried. All have failed. This is the gift of the Spirit. This is the gift which the Father speaks of. This is why when that lonely voice in the crowd said, they need teach us to pray. How would you pray? It was at this moment that Christ once again worked a miracle of miracles simply by speaking with love. Because it was at this moment that Christ blessed this earth with an eternal prayer, a prayer to be remembered by all men, used by millions and millions of men throughout the decades of time, and will continue to do so, for it is, as it is acclaimed, the Lord's Prayer. And I ask you, is it a difficult prayer? Is it a complicated one? Is it one which asks for many things? Is it one which makes demands of the Father? No. It is a prayer made up and composed of a series of simple requests according to the needs of your life to help you day by day to come closer to the Father, to know Him and to allow Him to know you. Prayer is the most important part of your being. And many of you will say, but I don't know how to pray. I become lost for words. I am afraid of repeating myself. I am afraid someone will mock me for what I am saying. But I say to you, think not of these things. Think only of your need for God and for His need of you to identify with Him, to recognize Him for what He is, to trust Him, to show your trust by taking your cares to Him. Prove you love Him by offering Him this treasured blessing as He looks upon it, of the privilege of helping you through your life, of knowing you accept Him, of having know that you believe in Him. And you will learn it through your prayers. And He also loves you the same. That He trusts you just the same. That He needs you just the same. That He has the same simple faith and belief and trust in you as you have in Him by going to Him with prayer. And are you not talking to Elder Papari, to your Father? And are you not being blessed with the privilege of doing this quietly on the behalf of those you love? So that you can say at the end of your prayers, thank you, Father, for knowing I am here. And He will say in your heart, thank you, my child, for loving me. Think deeply when you pray. And think hard upon those things which are in your heart. Even when you pray in silence within the closet of your being, consider simplicity, consider compassion, consider humility, and seek for peace within your being. And so it is, the Father will hear you. And upon hearing you, he will glorify you and bless you, in whichever way it pleases him to do so, according to your needs. And for this you must be content and accept his judgment, and accept the knowledge that he has of you and of your needs. But as the Master Jesus has said, do not be as the hypocrites, who will stand in their great marble temples and decorate the halls with many robes and jewels upon them, dreaming more than the stars themselves. Do they think in a meagre way that they stand out even more than a humble beggar? Of course not. For the Father will see the needs of a beggar before he will see the needs of one of these proud and almighty beings. For if he has all this jewelry and finery on him, what need has he of the Father? He has his wealth, he has his possessions. Let him sell it and live off it, if he wishes. The Father will see the beggar and know him for his humility. He will love him and bless him. He will receive his presence. And he will take him into his care and keeping. And those there are who will say, did you not hear my much speaking? Did you not hear my prayers? I have glorified you all in my life. I have spoken of your name and I have done your deeds. And the Father will turn to him and say, I know you not. For these are the ones who have sought to be seen for their much speaking. These are they who have made a great noise, only to allow it to become an empty echo in the hearts and minds of those who have heard them, only to have struck fear into the hearts of the humble and of the sinful. Those of you who pray with humility and grace are the ones whose prayers shall be heard in the hearts and minds of those who are equally humble and simple as yourselves. And these are they who will come forth and glorify the Lord, because you have bid them to, in a way they understand and can converse with. I hope I have made it clear now the meaning of this reading you have given for these children, Brother Christopher. And I hope it is clear in your hearts. Do not try to stand out in a crowd as the proud and the mighty, and there's the one who is all-knowing and all-seeing and all-doing. But be felt in a crowd as the one who loves and feels the most within his heart. And the Father will see you. He will know you. just as the Christ knew the stranger, or touched his garment, even though he had not seen him, he turned to him and said, come forward, your faith has made you whole. Consider these things. Consider these things when you pray. And consider this humble prayer your Father taught you through his Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal prayer, the Lord's prayer. When you are confused and torn in your heart and say to yourself, I want to pray, but I don't know what to say. Then I really say to you, bless your brethren, dear, with the Lord's Prayer. Just as the Christ blessed the multitude and taught them to pray. Now, I have spoken a long time on this. And I want you to understand, dear, and it is not a complicated lesson I have taught. Neither are there deeper meanings within it. There is just a simple, peaceful lesson to learn. Be ye ever humble, and fear not your God, but walk in his peace, and in his love, and in his truth. Is this to make you content now, Brother Christy?
Yes, sir.
Have I explained your reading for you?
Very well, perfectly.
Putting
it into practice is difficult.
Putting it into practice is the most joyous part of all, Brother Christy. It is the coming together with the God, feeling it move within. This is the joy. This is the power. This is the glory. For is it not said at the end of this prayer, thou art the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Remember this. And smile in your heart when you pray. Be joyous when you pray. But be joyous in your sincerity and in your simplicity. For herein lies your strength. Who will talk with Marcello now? Is there anything you wish to talk of me concerning this reading we have spoken of? You are all abundantly clear on this? No one there has a question?
Sometimes the prayer can be felt very intensely, like with the Chinese students at the moment. You get so upset for them, and the prayer is very difficult to keep simple, because it isn't simple in your own mind. Some of the outrage you feel about it must go through. I don't know how to pray about this. The anger comes.
See, Sister Wendy, how can you pray with love when there is anger in your heart? The path of a true Christian is to follow the examples of Christ and to forgive. And this is the greatest torment of all, to forgive. But forgive you must. Try to understand. Though I know it is tormenting you, is not your way of life, is it not your way of thinking, is it not your vision of justice, is not your vision of truth. It is a far cry from your conception of life. But you must understand Sister Wen, as indeed you all must. Upon this earth there are many cultures. Each one is different from another. Why is this? Why should they all be different? The reason is simple. Because one culture learns from another a lesson. One culture is tested by another. One culture proves itself to another. And so this goes on, changing and interchanging all the time through life. And history will prove this to you. If you look back through the pages of time, difficult cultures have come forward. They have blended and intermingled and torn apart. All the time, man is growing. All the time, man is coming forward with a new vision. And this vision grows. And when you see blatant injustice such as this, slowly and gently, it is overcome. I can recall in the times of Tuscany, in the Renaissance, when men were cruel men and had no heart, no feeling for one another. Even a Pope was a brutal man and did not live by the laws of God nor of his commandments. He lived by his own commandments. And even to this day, even now, he does the same thing to an extent, but a lesser extent, because they have evolved. They have evolved through coming to understand the errors of the ways of those before them. They have come to understand because of the brutality which took place. And man will go on learning and growing because of the suffering of others. This is a man's chosen pathway through life. Man chose to thrive on greed. He chose to prosper on deceit and deception. He chose to survive by dominating the lives of others. So it is here in this land of which you speak. There is a generation of vipers who will live off the lesser beings of the land, who will overrun and demonstrate their great power. But I will say to you now, if he is any consolation to you, he sees to it, or indeed to anyone else of you sitting here, underneath all this, underneath this facade of gentle innocence of those who domain and rule this land, this mask of purity they try to wear will be removed by the truth. The truth will always come to the surface. It will survive. And you in your prayers will should not pray to condemn these people, nor to ask for their punishment. But rather you should pray that one day, in the time of the Father, in his good time, His truth will rise to the surface and push aside all these who have caused the travail. And then you can say, having prayed for these things, that peace shall attain the position of the country through peace, not through war, not through torture or punishment of those who have transgressed. That peace shall prevail because the love has come to the fore and has become manifest in the hearts of a nation of oppressed. Then you can say in your heart, Sister Wendy, that you had not prayed in vain. You have prayed that love will prevail and that God will come to the fore and lay His hand upon the hearts and minds of these children, and that justice shall come to the surface and be recognized in the hearts and minds of many who stand aside and watch. And the oppressed shall not become the oppressor. They shall become the redeemer and the forgiver of all these things. Do not pray with anger in your heart, Sister Wendy. Pray with love. Pray as the Father would have you pray, as He instructed His Son, Jesus Christ, to teach you to pray. Forgive those who curse you. Agree with thine adversary. Bless those who would harm you. Forgive. For in forgiveness there is love, and in love there comes the love of God shining forth across this land of turmoil. And it is by the example of your love, and by showing this love in your prayers, that this troubled land will rise to the surface and become a land it was destined to be, a land of peace and plenty, a land of prosperity, a land of love and culture. All these things of God, I tell you, will come to the fore if only mankind can see the wisdom in his heart in forgiveness. Do not try to destroy. For to destroy is only to become as a destroyer. But to forgive is to overcome them, to override them, and to encourage them to be as yourself, a child of God, a child of love, a child of peace and of forgiveness. This is the way of the Father. And did He not say, through Christ, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, I am the Redeemer of all men. Is this answer for your question, Sister Wendy? You are content now. Is it not simple to forgive and understand? God will come to the surface, always. And His word and His love will rise to the fore. and the oppressed shall be the blessed, and the oppressors shall be the forgiven and the forgotten. Is it not simple? Is it not a true and worthy way to be? And is this not the blessing, the power of prayer? Again, coming back to that of which Brother Christopher read. The power of love and prayer will overcome all things in God's good time. Who else now will talk with Marcello? No one has a question that they would like to ask, perhaps on behalf of those who don't understand, one who would be a beginner, who is just stepping out to learn? Would none of you wish to ask a question on their behalf, even though you feel that you know the answer?
Senna, I'd like a question.
See.
I was wondering if the power of the silent prayer comes through as strong as the spoken.
Oh, amen. I see. This is a beautiful question. This is a question I love. This is a walking on my territory. This is. Because you see, we pray for you continually. And our prayers cannot be heard by you. And yet they are received. We pray in silence all the time. And this is the burial. Is the most powerful means of prayer you can find. Because it is a prayer which is kept pure within the heart. It comes from the heart, unhindered, unafraid. It comes with all its compassion and all its meaning. It comes filled with love, unhindered by self-consciousness, unhindered by fear, unhindered by stumblings of words. It's a prayer which is not spoken with a voice which is heard. Is a prayer which comes straight from the spirit of man to the spirit of God. And it is this prayer which will receive the ultimate blessings of the Father. And have you not said it all? I spent so many words Sister Beryl, trying to say what you have just said in a tiny question. Pray from your heart. Pray from the closet of your being. Pray from the inner spirit and sanctuary of your soul. Pray from that spark of God which is within you, the very life force. This is the unspoken prayer, the prayer which Christ spoke of when he said, enter into your closet, Father, who will hear you in secret, will reward you openly. Is this not all I have tried to say for you? Power of prayer is blessed and purified and magnified within the silent prayer, within the prayers of your heart, untouched, unhindered, and cleansed by the love of your Spirit, received and blessed by the Spirit of God. So now, who else will ask a question of myself on behalf of those who are beginning to learn?
When at the Last Supper, Jesus said to Judas Iscariot that he would betray him, and he also said that, I believe it was Paul, would deny him. He obviously forgave them, but why did he not sort of try and stop that event from happening?
It was preordained by God that this must be. It was a demonstration of forgiveness and the power of forgiveness. It was an ultimate demonstration of the power of Christ among men. And the one of whom you speak who denied him was the brother Peter. And did he not once say to him, Brother Peter, you are the rock upon which I stand? And did he not say to him 3 times, Brother Peter, lovest thou me? And the brother Peter said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said to him, Feed my sheep. They asked him again, Brother Peter, lovest thou me? And he said to him again, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said to him, Feed my lambs. He said a third time, Peter, Simon Peter, son of Joseph, lovest thou me? And Peter become enraged by this. He was very anxious, and he said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. I've told thee 3 times I love thee. And he said to him, Feed my flock. He also said to him, When the cock croweth thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter again became enraged by this, claiming he would never deny his Lord, reminding him that he was a rock upon which he stood. But Christ, he knew that he had to prove to Peter 3 times that he loved him, that he would forgive him, and that he would be his good shepherd through life. He had to prove it to Peter through his love for him, that he would become a true disciple of Christ, that he would go forth among men, teaching the word of God, knowing that 3 times he was denied his Father and his Son, and 3 times he was forgiven. three times he was blessed. Three times he received the Spirit of God within him. And so it was. Christ worked this miracle within Peter to solidify, if you wish, the foundations upon that rock upon which the faith of Christ stands even today. And in this great square in Rome, there is this great monument to this rock upon which the Spirit of Christ stands. This great cappella which stands above the dome of St. Peter's, created to immortalize this man who Christ loved so much more than all the others, whom Christ himself he believed in and would not deny. And in doing this, Brother Christopher, he was just defining for St. Peter the simplicity of man's love compared with the love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Those three immortal bases of love, the three pinnacles of a man's belonging here on this earth, through the Father and through the Son and through the Holy Spirit, through the lamb, through the sheep, and through the flock, through the weakness of a man's humble strength in the sight of God, in the form of a denial of what he loved. But Christ knew this denial was to be. And the Father forgave him this denial. And the Spirit fulfilled him and was reborn in him and made itself manifest in his teachings, so that now you have the story of Peter, this rock upon which Christ stood, this rock upon which the foundation of Christendom now stands. This immortal man, loved by a divine soul, blessed by the love of God, immortalized by the Holy Spirit. A continuous reminder of the power of the Holy Trinity within man. And so this was why it was done. But what of the Judas? What of this man, Judas Iscariot? Was he a coward? Was he a hypocrite? Was he a traitor? He was not of these things. He was a chosen child of God. And he was a child chosen and blessed with the privilege of being chosen to prove to mankind the futility of denial and deception, to prove it to mankind that Christ could even forgive this, that God would forgive him, because he had ordained that he should do this for him, in order to bring this act of deception and the consequences of deception to the understanding and the eyes of man. Furthermore than this, it was he, Judas Iscariot, who in his deception inadvertently opened for Christ the gateways to heaven. He opened the door and let him in. He showed him the path and he announced or heralded for Christ, the time is now. And did not Christ say to him, go and do it quickly, that which you must do? For Christ himself understood that Judas Iscariot was ordained of God to perform this act for Christ, to open the door, to open the gate of heaven, and let him in. So you see, Judas Iscariot was a true and loving servant of Christ. He did love his Christ. He did love the Son of Man. He did want to serve him. And he did serve him to the end. And he was given the most difficult and most horrific task of all, not only to deny he is the Christ, but to hand him over to those of his persecutors and the executioners. And was not his heart in turmoil? And was not his heart a troubled heart? Until the Father, in his mercy, relieved him of his suffering. These were the reasons why the Christ allowed these things to take place, Brother Christopher. They are not these simple truths, as would be told straight off at the end of his tongue. They are simple truths born of searching your heart and your understanding of just how magnificent the Christ figure was. It was not just a man who could work in miracles. He was a divine man, filled with a divine power, motivated by a divine love, created through a divine peace, enriched by the divine love of God, so much so that any man who would harm him would fail. And it was not until he gave himself over to mortal man and to the degradations of a mortal man that his garments were rent, his body was flogged, and his blood was shed. It was not until he himself relinquished, just for those a few moments, the divine love and divine energy which was around him, and he was tortured, punished, and flogged, stripped of his raiment, was crucified. He had to strip himself of this love and of this protection in order to know the final experience of death, of transcendence. Otherwise his life would have been an eternal life. He would never have known this. And men would never have known the true horror of death, the true horror of the violation of the body and of the spirit. This is why he was crucified. This is why he was deceived. This is why he was denied. Because he had to know what death was, in order to save mankind from these same things, and in order to prove it to mankind, life is eternal in God. Is this answer for your question, Brother Christopher?
Yes, thank you, Master. Still find it very, very hard to make that sort of sacrifice, to have so much faith to make that sort of sacrifice.
Hey, Brother Christopher, this is why you continually tread this pathway of learning. This is why you continually strive within your heart to be pure, to love as He loves. No man can love as He loved, but he can try, and it is the trying, it is in the trying, and in the endeavour of the Spirit, that the Spirit grows, and it is in this growth that you evolve and draw closer to your God. It is to make you contain the man.
Yes,
thank you, Master. Soon I must take my leave of you. I say this to you all. Love is life. Love is the acceptance of life. Love is the purification of the Spirit of Christ within you. Love is love. Is all you will ever want it to be if you take it to the Father in prayer. And if you pray with all your heart and with all your mind and all of your being, and if you believe in your breath, if you believe in yourself, and if you believe in your spirit, and if you believe in the Spirit of Christ, and the love of God, then you will find all these things for which you seek in life, concerning your spiritual growth, shall be so. According to His will. God bless you. God bless you, my children.
God bless you, Mr. Jesus.
May the peace and love of God be upon you. Let us pray. Through Thy divine grace we beseech Thee, O Lord. Bless, behold, and receive the spirit of each of these Thy children. Fulfill them, O Lord. Uphold them. Grant, O Father, that they may receive of Thy Spirit, that they may receive of Thy love, that they may be mindful of Thy holy law among men. We pray, O Father, for our brother Jonathan, servant of Thy priesthood. We pray also, Father, for our sister Jacqueline, daughter of Thy service. We pray, Father, that the soul of her father shall be received and blessed by Thee, touched, cleansed and made whole. according to thy holy laws and to thine holy grace. Let thy love so shine in the hearts of these thy children, O Lord, and let thy grace be upon them. Let thy love dwell within their hearts and within their minds and within their learning. Uplift them and enrichen them. Keep them, bless them, and behold them, O Lord, in their daily lives. And let the gift of thine eternal peace rest upon them whilst they slumber. They may receive a new day, a new dawn, with a renewed strength, striving to go forward in thy cause and in thy holy name. May the love of the Father and of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and dwell within the hearts of each and every one of you from this day forward, even forevermore. May his light be about you. May his peace be within you. May his grace be forever upon you. May the love of the Father and of the Holy Spirit and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, dwell and remain within the hearts of each and every one of you from this day forwards, even forevermore. Amen. Be at peace, my children.